It is 4 minutes past 8 o'clock, and this is KGNU's Morning Magazine for Friday, April 22nd of 2022. I am your host, Rosanna Longo-Better. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up on today's program, today is Earth Day, El Día de la Madre Tierra, and to celebrate, Longmont will host a festival tomorrow. After that, we will hear about a local theater company's pandemic revival, and finally, we'll have our regular FridayFeature.org. At 8:30, Connections will come your way. Myra Jackson and Lelena Rashida Henry will host, and as always, the phone lines will be open and your calls welcome. Then, at 9:30, a diverse and eclectic sound and a mellow side. You will hear everything from ambient electronics to reggae and to folk. That's all still ahead, but first, these local and regional headlines with KGNU's Stacy Johnson.
The National Weather Service has issued a warning for extreme fire conditions because of predicted high wind gusts, very low humidity, and a continued streak of unseasonable high temperatures. Over half the state, or the Front Range, is now under a red flag warning. Winds on the Eastern Plains and the region covering Denver and Castle Rock could gust as high as 60 miles per hour by midday and at the hottest time of the day. The region's high wind speeds will make driving difficult. Greg Hansen, warning coordination meteorologist for the National Weather Service in Boulder, told the Denver Gazette there's a much larger area under critical danger than there was for the Marshall Fire. According to Hansen, although winds will not be as strong as the Marshall Fire, the region is experiencing much drier conditions. Forecasters are warning any new fire will spread quickly and conditions will make it difficult, if not impossible, to control a fire. The Weather Service and emergency personnel are asking the public to avoid any and all outdoor activity that may produce a spark, including lawn mowing and parking a vehicle in tall grass. Because of the increased fire danger, Boulder County Sheriff Joe Pelley has issued Level 1 fire restrictions, which do not allow open fire, campfires, or stove fires on public land. The restrictions also prohibit the use of fireworks, firearm shooting, outside smoking, chainsaw use, welding or flame torch use, and vehicle parking in grass that may come in contact with the underside of a vehicle. Boulder area residents may sign up for address-specific evacuation notices on Everbridge by visiting the website of the Boulder Office of Emergency Management. Three researchers with the University of Colorado Boulder's Aerospace Engineering Department studying severe weather crashed a drone at Table Mountain on Wednesday. The crash ultimately caused the Table Mountain fire, which grew to 52 acres in size and prompted evacuations west of Longmont. According to the Boulder County Sheriff's Office, the drone crashed at a high rate of speed into the ground, causing a lithium-ion battery cell to dislodge and ignite. The research crew used an on-site fire extinguisher but could not stop the fire before it quickly spread because of high winds. The sheriff's office deemed the incident as an accident and as a result will not file charges. The sheriff's office also made an update yesterday on its investigation of the NCAR fire that occurred last month and burned close to 200 acres in South Boulder. Investigators believe the fire was human-caused and started just off the Bear Canyon Trail. A sheriff's office spokesperson told the Daily Camera investigators found remnants of a small campfire just off the trail, but no associated campsite. The sheriff's office has not been able to connect the fire to any suspects and have indicated they will inactivate the case barring any new substantial leads. Environmental groups are suing the Polis administration over failure to uphold clean air laws in Adams County. KGNU's Jack Armstrong has more.
Nonprofit environmental groups Wild Earth Guardians and Center for Biological Diversity are suing the Polis administration for taking too long to give operating permits to air polluters in Adams County. The lawsuit targets the Air Pollution Control Division of the Polis administration, hedging that the administration failed to meet deadlines for review and update of operating permits for services like Sinclair and Phillips 66 oil terminal. The lawsuit filed Wednesday says that the review of the facilities has lasted way past the 18-month limit for which the state needs to allow operating permits for the facilities. In this way, Jeremy Nichols, the program director for the nonprofit Wild Earth Guardians, said that the state is allowing the oil and gas industry a free pass to pollute. For KGNU, I'm Jack Armstrong.
The Colorado Air Quality Control Commission has rejected a petition that would prevent the delay of Colorado transitioning to electric trucks and buses. KGNU's Emma Martinez has more.
On Thursday, the Air Quality Control Commission, known as the AQCC, shot down a previous ruling that would speed up a transition away from gas-powered vehicles. The ruling would have required truck manufacturers to sell at least some zero-emission models by the end of 2022. The Air Quality Control Commission pushed back the timeline until 2023, saying that they needed more research on low-income communities and communities of color who are severely impacted by the pollution from trucks and other fossil fuel infrastructure. With frustration, their environmental justice advocates responded to the AQCC, saying that they have had plenty of time to conduct this outreach. Additionally, they advocated that it has been obvious that the severely impacted groups have been loudly in favor of stricter emission rules. The evidence was presented when the Green Latinos, Mi Familia Vota, NAACP Denver, and Indigenous Women X from the Mountain were all signatories for the petition for an accelerated rulemaking timeline submitted by the AQCC last month. Before Thursday's vote, the AQCC members held an hour-long executive meeting to revise legal input. Ellis Jones, a commissioner, focused on immediate response to the climate policy, advocated for the adoption of the Clean Trucks Rule to be installed by the end of the year and was later rejected. Jones then made it clear to the committee that they no longer have time in their favor. As she said, "I will say that the low-hanging fruit has been picked. We don't have the luxury of time, and it's going to get increasingly inconvenient. And that is the world we live in." For KGNU, I'm Emma Martinez.
Starting today, Denver residents can apply for a $400 instant rebate before buying any class of electric bikes from one of 11 participating bike shops. A $1,200 instant rebate is also available for income-qualified residents. Residents who buy an e-cargo bike are also eligible for an additional $500 rebate. Among the program's restrictions, rebates cannot exceed the price of the electric bike, and residents cannot resell their e-bike or purchase more than one e-bike under the incentive. To see a list of participating bike shops and for more information about the Denver Climate Action Rebate Program, Denver listeners may go to the city's webpage on sustainable transportation. Today's temperature outlook for Denver, Boulder, and Fort Collins includes highs in the mid to upper 80s with tonight's lows in the 40s. Forecasters predict Boulder and Fort Collins will experience wind speeds in the 41 to 44 mile per hour range. Again, Denver is under a high wind warning starting at 11 a.m. with wind gusts reaching as high as 55 miles per hour. The current temperature in Boulder is 46 degrees. For KGNU, I'm Stacy Johnson.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU, and today is Earth Day, El Día de la Madre Tierra, and in studios today we have Ryan Schutz with Sustainable Resilient Longmont to speak about the 8th annual Longmont Earth Day celebration, a free community event, an environmental education expo, and lots of other programming for children and families. Welcome, Ryan. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Rosanna. Thanks for having us. Happy Earth Day.
Happy Earth Day. El Día de la Madre Tierra. So beautiful. So this Longmont celebration started 8 years ago. How did it start it and how has it evolved?
Well, the Longmont Earth Day celebration is really what started Sustainable Resilient Longmont. The group got together to create an event that would inspire the youth to love their planet, care for their planet. And, you know, it's slowly grown over the course of 8 years. We had a couple of hard years with the pandemic where we had to take it online and it was all done on video, you know, like everything else. But we're excited to be back live and in person.
and you have such a huge program in, I was looking at it. You know, this year it feels especially important to recognize Earth Day because of the fires and all the ways climate change has started to impact our lives. And it seems like at least locally the earth is burning and we have an unusual dry April. It's the first time I see an April so dry, not green like I used to see it. What does Earth Day mean to you now?
Well, I see Earth Day as an opportunity to, one, celebrate this planet. It's an amazing place. It's the only one we've got, right? So we've got to have some joy. We've got to understand what we need to fight for. And that's the second half of what Earth Day is all about, is taking some time to reflect and think about what we can do to take care of this planet that we all share, and do what we can do to slow or reverse climate change, because it's here. It's not in the future. Part of it is now past tense. The climate in Boulder County has already changed. It's that simple. Now the ecology has to change to match it, and that's going to create some big challenges for everybody who lives here.
And we need to adapt.
Oh, yeah. There's there's so much we can do. I have four kids, and, it can be challenging because they see what's happening, and it's easy to find reasons to fear, maybe more so than it is to find reasons for hope. And I feel like, you know, once a week I have to give a pep talk, because the reality is we're 10 years from turning this thing around. If we all sat down and worked together, did what we can do, we could get the climate back on track. I mean, there's damage that's been done that we're not going to undo, but we can halt this thing. But we have to band together. We have to do it. And, you know, that's where Earth Day started. In 1970, a U.S. senator created Earth Day as a response to, you know, the Cuyahoga River burning, the Santa Barbara oil spill. And on Earth Day in 1970, 20 million Americans showed up to say, we want better, we want more, we want to take care of our planet, we want to take care of our neighbors. And, you know, before Earth Day, there was no EPA. There was no Clean Air Act. And those things came out of Earth Day. And I feel like we need to reconnect with where Earth Day started. You know, it's a call to action. It's a call to do what we can to save this planet.
We only have one.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a pretty special place. I love it. Everything I love is here. Yeah. Everything I know is here. And I would like to see us find the way to take better care of it and, make life easier for future generations. I mean, the reality of climate change, the reality of what we've done to our planet is we are passing down greater and greater challenges to the next generations. And I think it's time for us to step up and make change. And, you know, there are some exciting things happening. We're starting to see legislation to electrify America, you know, get gas out of homes, get people out of internal combustion cars. You know, the time is finally here. The technology is here that will allow us to get off of fossil fuels. And that's really the first big step we need to take. And we also have a big opportunity to handle our waste differently. You know, the stuff we throw in the landfill comes back out as methane. And methane is a far more powerful greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide. And it eventually, you know, breaks down into carbon dioxide anyway. But we need to nip that in the bud. And these are things that we can just do. Like, we just have to decide to do it. It's not like we have to invent a technology. It's not like, you know, cold fusion, that's something out in the future. This is real. This is right now. And this is something we can do today. We can start on Earth Day 2022. Let's do it now.
Today that is Earth Day, El Día de la Madre Tierra. Tell us about this year's Earth celebration in Longmont. What can people expect tomorrow? And what, and where will they find out more information? Because you have such a long agenda. It's a whole day.
Yeah, it's a big day. So if you're interested in joining us, go to srlongmont.org, O-R-G, and check out the schedule. The activities begin at 10 and go until 3 p.m. We've got everything from a concert with Jeff and Paige, who are Boulder County legends. We have a herd of baby goats, eagles, owls, wiggly worms, community art projects, and so much more. I mean, it would take me more than the minute I have left to cover it all. So I encourage people to check out our website. We'll be at the Longmont Museum, people can expect community. That's what it's really about, is connection.
So much fun. That was Ryan Schultz with Sustainable Resilient Longmont, a community that cultivates sustainability, environmental protection, responsibility, economic growth, and social equity. Thank you so much for coming to the studios.
Thanks, Rosanna.
The Spark, a local performing and visual arts center in Boulder, is emerging from the pandemic to perform a long-awaited opening of Roald Dahl's Matilda this weekend. KGNU's Alexis Kenyon interviewed The Spark's co-founder and executive director, Dylan Kenyon, about the show and Boulder's dispersed art community. Full disclosure, Dylan and Alexis are sisters.
Dylan, thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
So, Dylan, one of the reasons I wanted to bring you in here is because this weekend you are directing a performance of Matilda at The Spark. And this is the show that you were preparing to perform 2 years ago, right as the pandemic hit and you had to cancel.
Yeah, so it was extremely sad. Everybody was very sad. So this is our revival pandemic show.
Is it the same cast or is it a new cast?
It is not the same cast entirely. The role of Matilda is supposed to be a very young child. The girls that we had originally cast grew physically, so they could no longer play Matilda. So these are a lot of the characters the same. There are some people who wanted to come back on, so we recontracted adults to perform.
Okay, so speaking of this combination of adults and professional actors and children, tell me a little bit about The Spark in general. You come from a background directing children's theater, and at The Spark, you still include younger children, like Matilda, but you have paired them with professional actors from Broadway companies from all over the country, and also local actors who can come in and audition for the shows. What does this bring to your performances?
Yeah, it's great. I think we find that the people that work with us who are adults really genuinely enjoy mentoring young performers. And I think that connection between the adult actors and the student actors is extremely powerful to everybody. And with a lot of youth in a show, you still get that excitement and that joy and that fun and that ease. So, and the community is huge. The students that perform with us genuinely love each other. And that's really the best.
I mean, it's interesting that you brought up community, because I was reading a recent census survey that found that although Boulder is third in the nation in terms of the highest concentration of artists living in a city just behind Los Angeles and Santa Fe, when they surveyed artists, a lot of them didn't feel like they were part of a community in Boulder. And not many people associated Boulder with a thriving art scene.
Yeah. So before I started The Spark, I got to work with amazing performers, and almost all of them said, I love to perform and I love to do art and I love to teach, but there's nowhere in Boulder that I can easily get into and then I can do it and actually make money because it's how expensive it is to work in Boulder. So the other huge half of The Spark is to have an affordable and accessible place. So we can have all these artists using The Spark, giving back to the Boulder community, and actually making money and could actually live, because there's a huge need. And I'm consistently surprised by the number of people that are looking for space and the diversity of the people who use our space, because without not being able to live in Boulder, but being an artist really takes away from the culture of Boulder. And if we can't give these performers someplace to be, then we're going to lose our art scene. And so that is part of the other huge half of The Spark, is to have an affordable and accessible place to give the community what they need. And that's big.
Well, is there anything I missed or that you would like to add?
I would say come see our shows. Surprise yourself. If you are wondering, should I come see a show at the Spark? The answer is, of course, yes. And I bet if you come, you will be pleasantly surprised. It's been a continual growth process, and we keep getting bigger and bigger as we go. We're really excited for the summer. We've got 4 shows lined up, and then our big stock performances are Little Women and Legally Blonde. It's going to be a fun summer. Lots of powerful women.
Dylan Kenyon is the co-founder and executive director at The Spark, a nonprofit community performing and visual arts space in Boulder. She is also my sister. Dylan, thank you so much for talking with us today, and break a leg.
Thanks.
The musical adaptation of Roald Dahl's Matilda will open this weekend at The Spark. For more information or to buy tickets, you can find a link to their website at news.kgnu.org. For KGNU, I'm Alexis Kenyon. Welcome to .org, KGNU's weekly look at local nonprofits.
Wildlife Restoration Volunteers organizes thousands of volunteers each year to complete more than 150 conservation projects throughout Colorado. Community Relations Coordinator Anne Marie Fussell.
WRV's roots are in Boulder County. Our founder, Ed Self, saw a need in public lands. He saw that land managers didn't have enough money, enough resources, enough time to restore public lands that had suffered damage. We work everywhere from southern Wyoming, western Colorado, and the eastern plains out on the Pawnee National Grasslands. Land will heal itself, given a really, really long time. But what our volunteers do, planting trees, getting native seeds back on the habitats that were damaged for pollinators and local wildlife, curbing erosion along rivers, our trails, in alpine environments. We have a youth program right now in Fort Collins where students in high school are actually collecting native seeds from the landscape, learning how to grow those in their greenhouses at their school. And then this spring, we'll be installing them in a pollinator demonstration garden. Between this spring and next spring, Wildlands Restoration volunteers, along with a coalition of partners here in northern Colorado, have a goal of planting 28,000 seedling trees in the burn areas. One of our more recent trainings that we've added into our system, what we realized is that we can involve a lot more volunteers from the community if we have a lot of Spanish speakers and those in our community who are also bilingual in Spanish and English. On April 2nd, we planted 800 trees down at Heil Ranch in Boulder County. That area was heavily affected by the Calwood fire in the fall of 2020. We came to that area in partnership with Boulder County Parks and Open Space. Our volunteers, over the course of 2 days, installed about 1,500 of those plants so far this spring. So we really feel like one of the byproducts of our work is to help bring people together for a common cause and renew our hope. Renew our hope that we can make a difference one person at a time. It's really easy to get involved to volunteer. You can visit our website at wlrv.org. You can get involved as a volunteer. You can get involved as a donor. You can get involved as a business or a community group. Our volunteer calendar is up for the season, and we have over 200 events.
For further information, you can go to their website, wlrv.org. For KGNU, I'm Steve Miller.
You've been listening to .org, KGNU's weekly look at local nonprofits. For more .orgs or for more information on this episode, visit news.kgnu.org.
That's all the time we have for today's Morning Magazine. I have been your host, Rosanna Longobetter. Special thanks to Stacey Johnson, Sam Armstrong, Emma Martinez, Alexis Kenyon, and Chris Schultz for their contributions to today's program. Stay tuned for Connections just after this news update from the BBC.